John in Belfast. Morning to you, John.
Hello. This is all a red herring from Gregory Campbell. Because I'll tell you why. There was a war in this country for 40 years, and I don't agree with Gary Donnelly's politics whatsoever. But the wishes of the family are paramount. And if their loyalists are Republican and their families wish them to have a paramilitary-style funeral, then why not?
So you're talking here, you're a loyalist, and you're basically defending the so-called honouring of the dead, right?
Yes, because they were involved in a war that lasted 40 years in this country. And like any other army, because that's what they were armies. No matter what people think, they were armies. And the wishes of their families should be upheld.
Yeah, Gregory Campbell, I'm looking here at reports of UDA displays at a funeral of Colin Bapp Lindsay. I was away. I was out of the country. Were you vocal about the UDA displays, Gregory?
Well, were there UDA masked men who fired shots over the coffin when it was returned to the wake?
There was a wreath. There was a wreath saying UDA on it.
So I take it by your evasion that there wasn't.
There was a man in a beret.
Shots fired, right. Mm. So there weren't shots fired. Now, were there dozens then of masked, fully paramilitary garbed UDA men marching for 2 miles after the hearse?
So I'm not trying to be clever, Gregory, but is it then a question of scale that a man in a beret and a wreath saying UDA is acceptable, is it?
No, it's a question of breaking the law, no matter who does it.
A man in a beret with a UDA wreath, is that breaking the law or not?
Well,
it's a display of paramilitary.
If anybody was to march behind a UDA organisation in paramilitary garb in the way that they in LA did on Saturday in Londonderry, they would be in breach of the law and the police should take the same action as they should have taken against the INLA.
Andrew in Lisbon.
The police actually called here in advance for the media to respect the privacy of the family. So we don't know what went on at that funeral. You know, but there was a UFF flag. There was a man with a beret. So does anybody who, you know, is anybody who was part of that funeral procession, should they be investigated in the same way that Gregory's calling for me to be investigated?
That's obviously blatant nonsense. Completely and utterly different.
It's a fair question, actually.
Well, you see, if UDA or UFF people were to garb up and fire shots over a coffin, then the same action should be taken against them as should have been taken against the INLA. No difference, no distinction whatsoever.
And were the police right in saying that the family's wishes should be respected and for the media to stay away?
As long as that doesn't result in a breach of the law, which your attendance did and on Saturday at the funeral did.
I just wonder why his attendance didn't facilitate anything. He's entitled to attend a funeral.
Oh, of course he is, but he's not entitled to defend a breach of the law when he does so, which is what he's done. That's what he's not entitled to do.
0845955578. Andrew in Lisburn. Morning, Andrew.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Bringing up the query, you're talking about the UDA and you're talking about the UFF. You know, we're here to talk about the INLA, what they've done. You know, before the talk of today, you were running the loyalists down about the bonfires, their protests.
I was running no one down.
You were listening to this show every day, like, and you were, and I'm really annoyed at everybody in the loyalist community. You know, so why are you taking it easy on the INLA today? You know, you're bringing up about the UDA, about the thing and all this.
So you're suggesting I'm taking it easy on the INLA today? So you've heard me at the top of the programme, presumably, describe people as thugs in masks. You haven't heard that bit, no?
There wasn't a policeman in sight. There was a lad who were taking a video of it, you know, and all the loud protesting, the police were in the red gear, beating the rubbish out of us, you know.
There is a big question for the police this morning. You know, why this tactic of watching the law being broken and simply then saying, well, you were gathering evidence while you were watching the law being broken? And do the police seriously think that a statement is sufficient to answer that question? More your calls in just a second. 9:33. Here's Keith with the latest news.
Now, the other stories making the headlines this morning, Stephen. The Justice Minister, David Ford, has condemned a bomb explosion in Lurgan on Saturday. Police say the device was designed to kill and they believe distant Republicans were responsible. The granddaughter of the mother of an INLA man who died in a hunger strike in 1981 has rejected unionist criticism of a paramilitary display at her funeral. Peggy O'Hara was buried in Londonderry on Saturday. And the families of four workers who've been missing since an explosion at a wood mill near Macclesfield in Cheshire have been told that a body's been found. Rescue teams are continuing to search the wreckage. BBC News in detail is at 10 o'clock.
Thank you very much, Keith. Now, if you are calling us this morning, don't forget that this 0845 number, 08459 number that you've been calling us on, it calls cost up to 7p a minute plus your network access charge. At Stephen Nolan on Twitter this morning, the email nolan@bbc.co.uk. So unions politicians, as you've been hearing, they're voicing their fury at a paramilitary display in Derry stroke Londonderry. There were dozens of people wearing military-style uniform, berets, dark glasses, who attended the funeral of Peggy O'Hara, the mother of the INLA hunger striker Patsy O'Hara, who died in the maze in 1981. The police are refusing to come on to this radio show this morning to explain to you why their operational tactics were to sit at the side of the road and watch the law being broken. In a tweet, the chief constable has responded to a member of the public by saying that the clue as to why this happened might be the Land Rover, complete with evidence gathering facilities, in other words, a camera. Now, Peggy O'Hara's granddaughter Adele Kelly has defended the paramilitary display. She spoke to BBC Foyle reporter Teresa Craig.
My granny organised everything herself before her death. She wanted what happened at the wake, and she wanted what happened at the funeral.
So this would have been at your grandmother's wishes?
Yeah, that it was.
Can you understand why it's caused a lot of anger, particularly in unionist and loyalist communities? It's received condemnation by one unionist politician who described it as paramilitary thuggery.
If it happened in their tradition, and that's what, you know, they showed their support for their volunteers, their, you know, the people that they honoured, I would have no problem with that. Patsy O'Hara died. He gave his life for Ireland. At that time, it was a war, and Peggy lost her son.
It's not just among unionist politicians, however. The Deputy
yes.
First Minister, himself a Republican, Martin McGuinness, on social media, on Twitter, said that he was pleased to be able to attend the mass. But in his words, mass men were in no way to honour such a good woman. What would you say? Do you agree with the Deputy First Minister, or do you think that he's got it wrong?
I'm just speaking from my granny's point of view, because I knew what her feelings on Martin McGuinness were. He's actually disrespecting her as a mother of a hunger striker.
You find the comments of Martin McGuinness disrespectful?
I do, to my granny. Because he's condemning it. He's condemning it, and it's something that Peggy wanted. So if he's condemning that, he's also condemning the wishes of my granny Peggy.
What would you say to people who say that men and women in masks and paramilitary uniform or dress are intimidating and they represent violence?
Maybe in years past that might have been the case, but this was simply to honour my granny. As we walked along from Long Tower Chapel down past where we used to live in Ardfoyle, where Peggy brought us up, everybody in Bishop Street came out and blessed themselves. We didn't go through any, you know, contentious areas. It wasn't about that. It was about honouring my granny and the suffering that she's gone through all these years. And she's with Patsy now. And they should just leave it to rest. They shouldn't be bringing this into politics. I just think they're using it as a political football.
So, that the granddaughter, Adele Kelly, defending the paramilitary display. Gary Donnelly, is there a need? Because I'm sitting here thinking about the new Northern Ireland that we constantly hear about. Is there any need for the INLA anymore?
Well, that would be a matter for the INLA to justify their existence, you know.
What do you think? Is there a need for them?
Well, I think there's issues regarding, there's still issues in the six counties regarding sovereignty. You know, I don't think that the core problem has ever been sorted. So it's unfinished business. You know, there's still a dispute over sovereignty here.
And what part do armed men have in unfinished business?
Well, I don't think, no. How many photos have we, you know, of people like Martin McGuinness and Gary Adams carrying coffins flanked by masked men? You know, there's thousands of them. You know, there is still a violation of Irish sovereignty. And when you have a country's sovereignty violated, there will be those within that country who will resist it. That's the reality of our people, you know, whether we agree or whether we disagree.
But dressing up as a soldier, is that your idea of resistance?
Well, it's defiance of that state. It was a funeral, and it was
But how does it bring a united Ireland any way closer?
It's not the funeral procession is not designed to bring a united Ireland any way closer. This was about, you know, laying a mortar of putting tribute to the mortar of an Irish hunger striker.
So it was a gesture.
It's symbolic, I suppose. You know.
Symbolic of what?
Symbolic of the life that Peggy, you know, had to endure after the death of her son, you know, right up until her death, Peggy was...
Symbolic for the sake of fighting, Gary. Lost lives.
Well, you know, from
nothing achieved.
From a Republican perspective, you know, I would say the cause of conflict here in Ireland is the illegal violation. You know, and I would say armed resistance to that violation as, you know, that's a... I suppose a response to the violation.
Okay, Gary.
Depends how you view. You know, what we have to look, when you look at it, the people who are lecturing us on laws and being decent law-abiding citizens, it's the British nation. This is the same nation which at this minute is involved in bombing campaigns in different countries. And then they're expressing fake horror and outrage that some Republicans may have.
And you would let Islamic State just continue to behead people, would you, and burn people alive and drown people alive?
No.
Because that's what you're alluding to when you talk about the British fighting, isn't it?
No. British have, I think, it's possibly maybe two or three nations or countries of the United Nations that the British haven't invaded or, you know, throughout history. You know, I think it would be unfair to pick. You know, there is a revulsion of Islamic State, and then there's a question of where did they originate from and whose interest does Islamic State serve.
Gary, thanks for coming on this morning. Gregory Campbell, thank you. Morning to you. Lots of you responding to this today. Mark and Newton Abbey. Morning to you, Mark.
Morning, Stephen. How are you doing?
Go ahead, Mark.
Stephen, there we go again. We'll have Gregory on again, moaning again. Every time there's something to do with Republicanism, Gregory is on there.
He's moaning about the breach of a law, Stephen, and the police watching it happen.
Stephen, let me speak first, and then you can speak back to me. Please let me pose a question to you. If the UDA or the UVF or whatever were out having the march on the street, would Gregory Campbell be the first one on the phone complaining? I don't think he would, Stephen.
Well, Gregory Campbell has been very clear this morning that he would condemn anybody breaking the law.
Stephen, let me guarantee you this. If the UVF were marching down the road and closed, would he be on the phone, the first one to you complaining?
Well, he's told you the answer. He's told you the answer to that this morning.
The march in Clifton Street, between that funeral and the march in Clifton Street, was like apple and oranges. Stephen, I watched that parade in there at Clifton Street, and they did play that holy tune, which is really loud, but when they get past the party stop, it was 20 yards past, they jumped and cheered in triumph. Now, that's breaking the law. I see the law being broken every year on Northern communities where the tyres have been built up. The tyres have been built up for 2 months before. You can see the tyres. So why is Gregory Campbell not on the radio moaning about the tyres being removed from these fires? No. Whenever something comes on to do with Republicanism or Catholics, he's on the phone right away, Stephen G. Stephen, I said before, I think Gregory Campbell is your only friend in the DUP because he's the only one that ever is on speaking for them. He's that stupid. He's on the radio all the time. And I think he has shares in the
DUP. I think it's very fair for me to say that the DUP both like and dislike me as much as any other political party
Stephen,
do.
Let me assure you, Mark, if that's the case. Stephen, I'm making the point. He's always on to you. I think he's number one on your contact list for the DUP.
Don't be ridiculous.
Stephen, he's on every time there's something to do with Sinn Féin. In fact, he said the other day there, no, he had mentioned Sinn Féin. But we all know when he mentions Sinn Féin IRA. The dogs of the street know that when he says that there. So he's made a mockery of the Irish slimies in the past, Stephen, in front of the Parliament as well.
Robert. Morning, Robert.
Stephen, I'd like to ask, it was a crime for the player Hemgen Post, St Patrick's Chapel. all these residents were out. They were on the news after it. Carl Mahoon and all was on the news after it complaining about it. I haven't heard her on the news complain about masked men forming outside a chapel. Never mind walking around Londonderry, but they formed outside a place of worship. Also, where's the priest? What's he got to say about this?
Robert, thank you. George in the Shankill. Morning, George.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I think we're completely missing the point here today. So we are. What we have is what has been said in your programme for 2 years, and you, I wouldn't go as far to deny it, but you told us you thought we were wrong, and that we see in the loyalist community that there's a two-tier policing system in this country. Now, let's get on to the first part with the TV, with the PSN. I've told you there was video evidence gathering. They were taking photos of the side of their heads as they walked by. So that's the first part of the video evidence gathering. But, I mean, you contrast the Wheatfield Road, which I've tweeted you a photo to, before a loyal order parade came up, and there's upwards of 50 to 60 Land Rovers, where you can see it, because all around the bend, and mobile cells sitting waiting on a loyal order parade coming, that they knew was coming. And then you look at the photograph below it, of another parade in Londonderry, where they knew was coming.
Well, that was preventing people fighting each other on the streets.
Stephen, it's the policing of two parades. The way you try and square the circle, it's the policing of two parades, and it's quite obvious to any, but it's quite obvious to the naked eye that there's a two-tier system. I mean, and Gary Donnelly was on there. I listened to him right all morning, and as every one of his arguments just does stack up. I mean. It's Gary Donnelly and the likes of Gary Donnelly who's denying the people the right to self-determination. The people in the island, both sides of the border, voted overwhelmingly yes in the Good Friday Agreement. It's Gary Donnelly and the likes of him that's going against
it. What has happened here in terms of the police sitting at the side of the road and watching the law being broken, observing and watching at the side of the road the law being broken, what the Chief Constable calls evidence gathering, that could be a mirror image, George, of what happened during the Loyalist flag protests.
No, it couldn't.
Well, the Loyalist flag protesters were breaking the law, and yes, the police were accused of sitting at the side of the road watching them do it.
The amount of police sitting at the side of the road, again, you are completely missing the point. The amount of police sitting at the side of the road. The Belfast city centre swamped with PSG units for people standing waving a flag. Swamped with PSG. I'll take it back to Tredale. Tonight at Tredale, there'd be a parade of maybe two dozen orange men walking up.
So what you're saying here, but listen to what you're saying, George. So you're saying that it was about the quantity of the... So if there hadn't been more police sitting at the side of the road watching this INLA paramilitary show of strength, then that would have facilitated you, would it?
Well, it wouldn't have facilitated because the law was quite obviously being broke. My point is, and I'll get back to it, is let's put this to bed. I have no problem. No problem whatsoever with anybody honouring their dead. Now, see, Republicans and Loyalists, whether we like it or not, they were members of our communities, and they're seen in them communities as heroes. Some may disagree with the Loyalist side, some may be with the Republican side, but I have no problem in them honouring their dead. So I'm not to put that to bed. I'm not having a problem. And what I have a problem with was they obviously prayed the IRA, or sorry, INLA combatants, walking through Londonderry, masked up, right? Given a free hand to walk through a city in the UK. I mean, that's like you mentioned ISIS there. Let's get 100 ISIS terrorists and let them walk through the streets of London. Do you see the outrage? You know what I mean? My problem is the two-tier system that people in my community are at boiling point over. And we have told you this constantly for years upon years, and we were told, we were imagining it. This is the proof of the pudding. You know what I mean?
Well, the police...
Here's the question, Stephen. Here's the question that needs posed, needs answered by the government, not the PSNI, by David Cameron. Do we now have no-go areas in the UK for the police in this country?
Well, it wasn't a no-go area because the police were there. They just didn't get out of the Land Rover.
Stephen, there was one Land Rover hidden down a side street with a camera. So an actual flag...
It wasn't hidden down a side street. I've seen some of the footage. It was in an open road, but like they weren't stopping it. There wasn't... Well, I can see one Land Rover. I don't know how many there were. I can't see any police on the ground. And the Chief Constable, George Hamilton, has described the police watching as evidence gathering.
Well, Stephen, every I can see the photograph too. I'm sitting looking at it. So, and they're only.
I've just tweeted photograph. It at Stephen Nolan. Yeah. If you want to have a look at this photograph that the chief constable has described as evidence gathering, I've just tweeted it right now at Stephen Nolan.
Well, here we'll do. We'll compare and contrast it to the protest, a legal parade, by the way, the rest of the week. See, in front of 24 orange men, where it's during the week, 24 orange men will walk up there. There'd be no ban this week, so they're not for other reasons. So there'd be no bans. But the parade will still go on. But compare and contrast, there'd be 2 to 3 evidence-gathering units there, photographing people, mostly stand at the side of the road, 24 orange men on the road. So compare and contrast. And again, the question needs posed, and it needs to go to the highest level of government. Do we now have no-go areas in Northern Ireland for the police? And it seems that we do.
You know the question I'm going to ask you. I'm going to bring up the flags being put up on lampposts and similar calls that I've had to this station in recent weeks about people saying, why are the police not stopping it when people are clearly breaking the law doing that? When people are dumping tyres on bonfires? When people are building bonfires in public space where it's potentially going to burn down homes?
And I have said in your programme, the flam of paramilitary flags is wrong. Illegal flags are wrong. I don't support
it. That's not the point. The point is the police aren't taking them down. That's the point.
Well, if they're illegal flags, the police should be taking them down. If the flags are illegal, I'm stating on here now, as a member of the public, if they're illegal flags, the police should be taking them down. The same way as if it's an illegal march with INLA terrorists walking through the streets of a UK city, they should have been stopped. So they should have. That's black and white, Stephen. It's wrong. So it is. And I wonder, here's the thing for you. I wonder when in the next 2 or 3 days that the chief constable is going to announce an Operation Dulcet take to catch these people. And here's another thing. What if most of them people, which is could quite well be, came over the border from the Republic of Ireland? They're in a different jurisdiction now. So they can gather all the evidence they want because the Irish government will not extradite them.
Well, I've got a more basic question for the chief constable this morning. When he describes this as evidence gathering, what type of evidence is there of men in sunglasses and masks? Like, how does that stand up in court? Taking pictures of people that you can't see their faces. What
again,
use is that?
I get back to
maybe they have a funny walk or something, but what use is that?
I've heard.
And again, on a day like today, where there is clear public concern from people like you and elected representatives, and the police choose to simply release a statement, and the police do not take up our offer to come onto the programme this morning and proactively assure the community of what they are doing and what they're not doing, that they simply give us a statement rejecting any suggestion of bias in policing. And they say such remarks are inaccurate, unhelpful and ill-informed. Well, how about this, Police Service of Northern Ireland? How about helping me understand why you did not move in and attempt to arrest people at the scene? I'm sure there's a perfectly good explanation. Maybe you could spell it out to us. Why, if you were given a heads up, were there not extra resources put in to stop the law being broken in the first place? And what type of evidence gathering operation does the chief constable think it is when he writes in a tweet that one of his Land Rovers is filming masked men? What use is that evidence?
Stephen, with respect to you, here's the elephant in the room also. So it is Gary Donnelly and his ilk that done that on Saturday.
So Gary Donnelly didn't do it.
Well, anyone that did that on Saturday is going on against the wishes of the vast majority of the Catholic community as well. Because from what I see, Sinn Féin are the biggest nationalist party in this part of the UK. So they are. So therefore, Sinn Féin have said down many a year that paramilitary such as Saturday is wrong and it belongs and confined in the past. Everybody has had them in the past, Sinn Féin and the Loyalists. I'm not trying to justify what happened in the past, but Sinn Féin said they're wrong. So then people that did that on Saturday is going against the vast, vast wishes, not only of the unionist community, but of the Catholic community as well. If we go by votes on the ground and politicians and feet in the ground, Gary Donnelly's a small, small spot of a politician up there, where he got
he's elected.
He's
more than what you are.
Let me finish. I haven't run for office, so I don't know if I'd get elected or not. So then I may well do, you know what I mean? But until I do, I can't say.
One way to put that to the test, then, isn't it?
Well, yes. But my point is, So if you listen, my point is Sinn Féin represent that community up there and they say it's wrong. So they do.
The point of this story this morning, the reason that I'm spending an hour on this story this morning is that the police are openly saying that there is no, quote, one-size-fits-all approach, okay, to their operational factors. Now, does that mean, and if it's the case, I would simply like it explained to me, does that mean that in certain circumstances, the police are going to watch criminality, to sit by the side of the road and watch criminality happen, and then attempt to find the people after they have sauntered away from the scene? So not that they were trying to arrest these people after they walked away, not that there was a police operation to follow these people so that they might have been arrested an hour or 2 hours later, that the police are actually now trying to use evidence of men in masks to try to identify who they were. Now, look, granted, it might be very, very, very naive of me to wonder why these people weren't followed after they had committed a crime on the streets of the UK. That might be naive, but I wonder, could Assistant Chief Constable Will Kerr explain to me what type of message this sends out to other lawbreakers in this country, that the police will literally sit at the side of the road and watch criminality? Assistant Chief Constable Will Kerr, what system, what optics, what signal does that send out to the public?
Stephen, let me ask you one more question, please. Maybe you could pose this to the PSNI. Is there any heli evidence from Saturday? Knowing now full well that the police of prior knowledge this was going to happen. I've seen no, I might be wrong, but I've seen no photographs of the eye in the sky.
I'll remind you, by the way, that...
Which is probably, by the way, the most potent weapon in a situation like this.
I'll remind you, by the way, that while, you know, I'm giving the police a tough enough time this morning, as are you, I'll remind you that they're under a dissident threat. I'll remind you that they're putting their lives on the line to protect us.
Stephen, I've policemen walking up and down this road every day that I consider as friends. So I would never, ever in my life like to see a policeman put in danger anywhere. So the police, for all their faults...
The point I'm making, George, is presumably they have to bear that in mind when they're making an operational decision.
Absolutely. I know that, Dar. I'm with you on that, Dar. I agree with you on that, Dar. But see, it's the amount of feet on the ground. They maybe now could not have PSG units in place at the family home. But it's quite clear some of the route of that funeral could have been swamped with PSG.
Look, here's the ultimate test. Here's the ultimate test for the police. Let's see how many people are ultimately convicted of having walked in that illegal procession.
Again,
so that's the ultimate test for the PSNI and indeed for George Hamilton. Let's see how many people are ultimately convicted of having walked in that procession.